Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fine and dandy episode of Millennial Gaming Speak. This is the 109th episode, and I am your host, Logan Moore. With me this week is not another Logan. That was last week. This is the Max Robert joint once again. Hey, Max.
I'm back, baby. Knack is back, and so am I.
Knack is back. Knack is officially back now. Actually, I think he was back technically last week, too, but I don't know. We recorded last week's episode early. I think that was like a Saturday or Sunday recording that we uploaded 4 days later. So it's been a while since we've talked to the audience.
I was going
to
say, talked officially on the record.
Yeah, you and I have been talking more than normal, I think, because of a little video game that came out.
Someone has fallen down the rabbit hole.
We'll talk about
One of us.
Thank you, everybody, for listening this week. As always, you can find all of our other podcasts and this podcast over at modelcitizensmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at modelpods and at mgspodcast and at moreman12 and at maxthewhite. Telling you all that up front so that you know it, and when we lose you by the end of the episode, you're not going yet. Max.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
I purchased Destiny 2.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm very, very deep into this game, and it's not a good thing, Max.
It's a great thing.
I'm going to choke.
It's a fun game.
Because I'm so in love with it.
You're gonna ask it out? Take it on a date? Wine and dine it?
So I bought Destiny 2, if you saw on the Twitters, if you followed me there. I showed it off. I told you this, but I knew I was going to buy the game. I just never told you. I was talking
to Abby about that today. I was like, yep, Logan's hopelessly addicted like us now.
Great. It's not fun. Actually, it's very fun, but it's not because of my actions. They're very strange at this point. We sat down to record this podcast, and I was like, no, let's actually play Destiny instead. So I bought Destiny. It is a solid video game.
It is a very good game.
It's better than the first, because everybody's saying it's better than the first, so I guess it's better than the first. I don't know. I still didn't play the first one very much, and I also didn't play it with friends. That's been the thing with this for me, is that playing with friends is fun. When I'm playing by myself, not very fun. Like, I'm not having a great time. So
it's much better with people.
I have to either jump in with you or with Mario or Michael or someone like that, and then I am getting the utmost enjoyment out of it. Max, you're the Destiny-holic on the podcast, and I am slowly becoming addicted to the bottle myself. But why don't you, from your perspective as a longtime Destiny fan, we've both been playing it, obviously, where... how are you feeling about it? And then I can give my more extended thoughts, I guess, in a second as a newer person. But where are you at with it right now?
Kind of like the reveal back a few months ago. It is a refinement on Destiny as a whole, especially toward the end there with Rise of Iron and stuff. It's just trims the fat. So far, I haven't run into anything that's too much of a grievance or annoyance. It's not super cumbersome. As we're recording this, the raid is going on right now.
Get in there.
Yeah, you gotta get in there. Technically, I'm high enough. I'm still too low because I don't want to be useless. But it's just, all of it's very good. It's like the best of the best. It is, you know, some of the strikes in here would be the top tier of Destiny 1. And these are just, they all seem pretty good so far. It's just a very, very good game. It's a lot of fun. It is Destiny again, but just without the bad stuff.
So far, I wanted to start touching on like what it is that makes Destiny good, because that's the thing, is that as I'm finding myself get sucked into it, I'm trying to think about what it is that's different from other loot-based games, where it's like it gets you into that cycle where it's like, oh, if I just go out and do this raid, then maybe I'll get more better loot. And then, like, it's a very simple gameplay loop, I guess, but I'm trying to understand why people do get addicted to it and why people are so into it. I think most of it, like I've always said about Destiny, one positive thing I've always said, even when I used to bash it, I've always played up the bashing. I never thought it was like an objectively horrible game. I just knew it didn't click with me when I played it. I think the gunplay just feels so good, though.
Oh, Bungie nails the gunplay.
Yeah, so that in unison with a gameplay loop that encourages you to keep doing the same things over and over again, I think it's a very simple thing. Like that's what I've realized the more I put into it, is that people are like, "Oh, it's so good, it's so amazing, blah 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 blah." I'm like, "Yeah, it is, but it's also really not reinventing the wheel by any means. It is a very simple concept. They're just executing on it greatly because of the fantastic gunplay and then the different loot and all that stuff." And I think that's really what it is. Like, if the gunplay wasn't as, it didn't feel as good, and if it wasn't as fun to play with friends, I don't know how many people would enjoy it the same. Because I really don't think it's like super unique in a lot of areas. Like, I didn't care for the story. I don't care for the world all that much either.
This game looks really good.
It
You know,
looks very good
you may not
too.
care about the world, like the actual, like
Oh, that's
where
what
you
I'm
are,
talking
but
about.
it
Yeah, the lore and
looks,
stuff like that.
oh, it
Yes.
looks good.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yes. So I don't know. That's where I've landed on it, at least, is that it's just like, oh, this is a pretty straightforward video game, but I really like it because of that. I don't know.
It's a hoot, man. There is something that's just satisfying when you get an exotic piece of gear or a gun that you've really been wanting to get. And getting better in a game is always, when you level up in an RPG or, you finally beat that boss, it feels really good. And I think doing that with your friends helps it make even feel better. And I can't wait for you to do the raid eventually, to do a raid in general, because, there were
What
four in
are we
Destiny.
aiming for this weekend? Is that what we're going to try to do, I think?
I will do it whenever Kevin's actually available. He might try tonight, but I won't be tonight. He usually
He
plays
said
before I do anyway.
he wasn't going to do that, I don't think.
But yeah, the
Yeah.
raid is like the raid is magic. The if it's anything like Vault of Glass or King's Fall was the name of the Oryx one. If it's anything like those two, it's great when your team just comes together and you just beat this boss. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for the raid.
That's the other thing I'm really liking, is that the bosses are a ton of fun to face. I'm really, except for the eyeball boys. Still don't like the eyeball boys.
He doesn't like him.
Or I guess the eyeball robots, I guess, is what we would have to call them. Still not a huge fan of those.
Servitors.
Yeah, servitors. Not my favorite, but not the worst, I guess, either. I don't know. But yeah, it's a I don't know. Like you said, like we've talked about this game so many times, or at least you have. It's not reinventing the wheel, though. And see, even out of the limited time that I put into the first one, even jumping into the second one, I was like, pretty similar. Like I get, it really is. Like that's the thing, and that was kind of one of the complaints people had with the reveal was, oh, it's Destiny 1.5. But I think now that it's out, like, just a slight tweak and improvement upon that formula proved to be all the difference, because I'm seeing people praise the game all over the place. I haven't really seen much negative feedback. And I
It's
don't know,
it got all its
like,
parts to jive together. It's Kevin and I were talking about this. Destiny 1 was kind of like trying to cram a bunch of good ideas together, but they weren't cohesive. They weren't jiving together. It's almost like shoving a puzzle piece in the wrong spot and hoping the
yeah.
picture comes out and looks good in the end.
Well, and that game had a troubled development cycle too. Like, it was like
Exactly, and that was a
completely
part of it.
reworked like that last year before it came out.
And
So,
then you look at Destiny 2, and there's a unified vision there and a refinement. And that happened because of the Tank and King, and then Rise of Iron was kind of a celebration of it all. And now we're at Destiny 2, where it's all new. And
yeah.
you're doing more of the same stuff, but it's new and it's more streamlined. Like the worlds. So, the EDZ, the European Dead Zone, that is just the patrol area in Destiny 1. As far as concept goes, of like just the size and scope, but everything's seamless now. Now you can load right into your missions from there. You don't have to go to orbit and then load the missions. It streamlines the process, which makes it a better game. It makes it more enjoyable. You're doing
Yeah.
more of the stuff you love and less of the stuff that's cumbersome.
Am I random side tangent real quick. Am I sounding better on your end now?
You
Because
do
for some
sound
reason
better.
it was recording with my camera, which sucks.
I thought about that. I was like, man, you sound very echoey, very far
Yes.
away.
Sorry about that. That camera isn't the mic on that camera isn't terrible, but hopefully it sounds better for you now,
You do
everybody.
sound better. I was like, I don't know if I should say anything yet.
Yeah, I just double checked there to make sure. I don't know. I'm just I want to play more of the game. Here's the thing I will say. I can already see myself not being a person like you, though, who has put hundreds and hundreds of hours into the first one. I can't see myself sticking with it. Then again, I rarely stick with mini games, so that's not a huge shock.
Well,
like MLB The Show is like really the only consistent game from year to year.
You have to think, though. I've put 250 to 300 hours into the game over the course of 3 years.
Yeah.
And that really was the beginning of the game, and then each expansion, I came back and played for however many hours of that. There was a time when I
now as well.
There was a time when I was like really into the PvP. Like that's accumulated over the years. I've taken month long breaks from this game. Like it's a game that's always there. Like it's almost like comfort food. It's, you know, whenever you want it, it's there. And just over the years, you'll watch and see. We've got the first content drop here in the winter, supposedly December, and then the next one will be earlier next year. You know, two content packs. This new one sounds pretty cool. It's going to have a Mercury area to explore, kind of like the EDZ, new missions all focusing around Osiris. Going to be super cool, hopefully. So you'll watch. You'll accumulate the hours.
Oh, I'm for sure. Yeah. By no means am I saying like, oh, I'm going to put 20 hours in and I'm out or anything.
I'm going to say you've already put your 20 hours in probably.
I think I played like 9 straight hours the other night. So that's a thing that happened. I don't know. I just, knowing the nature of how I play games, I rarely come back to the same very often. And like I said, MLB The Show is like really the only thing where I come back and I will play like a match online and then I hop out and I go do something else. That's the thing. Like, I'm glad I like Destiny now and I'm glad I am learning about it. That's the thing. I still don't know a lot about the game. And you're like, like last night you were saying something like, are all the ads gone? And I'm like, yo, what are you talking about? You're like, that's what we call them. That's
the additional enemies. I think there's actually a technical term for like the acronym or however it breaks down, but it's just anything that's not the boss.
Yeah. I don't know. Just the way you guys are talking, I'm like, oh, I'm becoming.
You're like, yeah, we're like, this is becoming. Use your super, or you know, now it's void. You're like, which one's void again? It's just, you're learning it, which is fun. Learning the game and helping other people do it is really cool, and that's why the whole guided games thing sounds really cool for an opportunity for people to be able to open your clan up and bring, you know, that one person who really doesn't play with other people a lot and help them do cool stuff, you know.
Is that launched yet? Or is that
it's in beta right now, so you can do it. I got tokens the other day to do some guided game stuff if I wanted to. So,
yeah, I mean, so yeah, I'm just the main reason I really wanted to pick it up is one, because I assumed it would be fun if we all played together, and then two, like Destiny was just a huge like blind spot in my gaming nowadays. Like I could not speak to that game in any way, shape or form, and I hated that. Like I pride myself on being able to talk about everything at least a little bit, and that's why I try to play too much, and that's why there's a lot of problems with that. But Destiny is like a huge pillar of, not a pillar, but it's like a huge game within the industry at this point, and I knew nothing about it. So more than anything, I wanted to get in and at least learn about it, and now I'm addicted to it, and looking forward to this podcast being over, at least the first half of it, so that we can go play until the direct starts.
The first half? Whatever do you mean?
We're doing the direct after. I'll talk to you about that in a second. Yeah, Nintendo Direct today. We're going to do some predictions, and then we're going to come back and see if those predictions are correct. I'll touch on that more in a second, though. But yeah, Destiny's fun. Max, have you been playing any? I know you've been playing something else, actually, and we should talk about that.
I've played a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you have, because that hurricane there didn't kill you, but gave you a good reason to bunker down and play some video games for a couple hours.
Thank God for the Switch and the Vita.
What else have you been into?
Persona 5, same old, same old. Sonic Mania. I think I only have like two worlds left.
You got like two or three left.
That's a good game.
It's a fun game. Yeah.
It's a mighty fine.
I'm going to ask you this, but how does it feel with the Joy-Con?
Feels good to me. I haven't had a single problem.
Have you played it like that? Do you use the D-pad or do you use the circle?
I've played the entire game in handheld mode.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. You play Pro Controller at some point?
I haven't used the Pro Controller for it.
Okay. Yeah, I probably will snag it on Switch at some point myself as well, if I had to guess, just to put something else on that device. I don't mind buying that game again, but Sonic's fun.
It's a good game. I like it a lot.
One thing about it that I did want to ask you real quick, how do you feel about the level design? Because I feel like it's like vastly improved over any other Sonic game ever, especially since you and I went back and did Sonic 1 and 2.
Yeah, it flows a lot better. It's a lot smoother. Yes. I don't feel like I'm ever going the wrong way or trapped.
That was the other, yeah. Well, I sometimes do feel like I'm going the wrong way, but I just have to beat that out of my head and tell myself, no, these are all paths to the end. Just keep going. When you start running to the left, that is when it's like,
when you're going the opposite way. Yeah.
That's when I start to feel weird, but, the level design is really impeccable in that game. I think it's the best that we've seen in any Sonic game probably ever. I don't know. And I think that's most easily seen in the flashback levels when the Act 2 is then a remix.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really easy to just go beat by beat with those old levels for the most part. But when you see them remix it and throw their own little
spin,
special spice in the mix. Yeah. That's when you really see, oh wow. Yeah. They are very good at level design. These dudes, Christian Whitehead and Head Cannon and the rest.
I really hope they get an opportunity to make a brand new Sonic game ground up, you know, no
like
remix.
All new zones.
All new. Yeah.
That would be definitely be something I aim for as well. Yeah, because that's the thing, is that a lot of people have come away from this and like, oh, I want them to see them make a new Sonic game. I'm like, this is a new Sonic game, but no, I agree with you. 5, 8, 10, 12 levels new from the ground up would be really cool to see, and that would be something that I would be interested in, and I think a lot of other people would be as well. Sonic Mania, one of the, I want to say, surprises of the year, because I think we all expected it to be good, but we certainly all hoped it would be good. Yeah, I think just a Sonic game being universally praised is still a funny thing that has happened, and I'm sure that will change when Sonic Forces comes out later this year, because
it's going to be the greatest Sonic game ever made.
Some mixed things about that one, but we'll have to wait and see. What else you been into? Like one other thing, mainly, if I'm right.
Undertale's
very good.
Undertale is an okay game. It's fine. Undertale's great. Undertale's a very good game. I guess the internet's right about this one. It's a very good game.
That was my big takeaway as well, was I think I may have even said that on this podcast, was it like...
You definitely told me. We definitely talked about it.
I went into this with the hype of the internet, and I was like, all right, let's see if you're right on this one, internet. No, the internet was pretty spot on. This is an amazing game. I'm so glad I finally came to PS4. We've been talking about this one for a long time coming to consoles, so...
Beautiful trophy list. For a minute, talk about how great that trophy list is.
It's terrible. There's my dog.
Hi, dog. It's a perfect platinum. It's great.
Speaking of dogs, that trophy list.
Oh yeah.
How did you get all your money for the dog shrine? Out of curiosity.
How did I get it?
Because there's a way I did it.
I just did fights and then came back to Snowden.
Okay. Because there, you meet this one guy who says, 3 coins for a ride or whatever, something like that, and you think it means that you have to pay 3 gold, but instead he gives you 3 gold for the ride.
Oh yeah,
I just rode that dude like 100 times.
Oh, like, you just right, did that fast money. Travel thing.
Yeah. And he kept giving me 3 coins, and I did it so much that I eventually had enough, and I was like, all right, dog, take all this money, but you have to give it to him penny by penny,
one coin at a time.
I like the one where it said the coin slot has been greased.
Oh no, they just painted on the sides.
Yeah, not really.
The writing in this game is impeccable. I love anything that breaks the fourth wall and does it very intelligently in this game is all about that. I have, like, not grievances, but, like, just some things. Like, really all it is can you dodge enemy attacks long enough for them to stop attacking you? Is really kind of the game. I did a neutral and then a pacifist run, because the way I ran the game the first time, I was able to just kind of continue my file and get the happy ending. I'm tempted to do a genocide run, go back and murder everything, but it was a good game. I had a lot of fun with it. It took me 5-6 hours probably.
Yeah, with somewhere both around runs. 4 to 5 for me. Yeah,
it's fun. It's cute. Nice
music
bite-sized.
Is amazing.
Music is top notch. I keep
listening to the music, dude. Like while I write or while I'm doing other things, I will put that soundtrack on and listen to it. It's so good.
I've been I kind of want Abby to play it. So I think once we get married in October, I'll have her play it on like the PS4 or something, because I think she would really like that game.
Yeah, it's a very accessible game. Yeah, and while there's a degree of difficulty to it, I think you feel compelled or determined to finish each of those.
I see what you did there.
To where even if you fail them, you really are wanting. You always want to jump right back in quickly. Which I think is nice. The one thing, what did you say? Oh, it's basically a game of dodging. Yeah. I guess my only response to that would be that because I went through it and was doing a neutral run at first, and I wasn't setting out to do that. I was just like, oh, I'll kill people if I decide I want to kill them, and I will spare people if I want to spare them. An hour into the game, I've told you this, but like I felt compelled to not kill anyone ever again. And I was only going to spare people. And because of that, it was less... I was dodging because I didn't want to hurt people. Because that was the thing with me, is that I wasn't against killing people. I just really, really didn't want to do it if I didn't have to. So I was... The dodging for me was like... with your heart or whatever. Dodging the other attacks. Your soul. They're coming at you. I felt compelled to do that because I just didn't want to hurt anyone. Like it was tugging at me in that way. So I don't know. Yeah, I can agree with you that is like the main gameplay element and it's not super fleshed out, but, actually it's pretty fleshed out. I will say, because there's some times where they even spin that mechanic on its head and it's like, oh shoot. Okay. Like when you start, you're all of a sudden you can shoot with it now. Mm-hmm. And it's powered up in that way, or in the Papyrus boss fight, when you have to like jump or whatever, and you can't move it around in all directions, they do mix it up enough throughout the game.
Yeah, right? No, it's like very creative what they do.
Even when it was starting to get stale, it was like, oh, okay, they mix this back up again. Cool. Now it's a different type of fight or whatever. So, yeah, I definitely think that's they did good with that. I don't know. There's just so many memorable characters in that game, too.
It's a good game. You should pick it up.
$15.
Did you play with a border around the screen?
No, I did not. I tried to, and then I didn't like any of them. So
I did just the white border.
I think, well...
Just the white square, because yeah, I wanted to know the bounds of the game.
I may have done that. I can't remember.
I did that, and I played it all on Vita.
Yeah, and I played it on PS4. No cross-save, though, right?
Yeah, because the way it reads your save file is funky.
Yeah, that kind of sucks, but... Yeah, no, well, you win some, you lose some. But, yeah, play that game. I think it translates very well. That's all you've been playing, really?
That's it.
And the other fun game of Don't Die in a Hurricane.
I suppose, yeah. I played Ticket to Ride, a board game. It's a fun game.
Played the game of life, and you landed on the Hurricane Square.
Life is a terrible game.
Other things I've been playing, I guess, outside of Destiny, not a whole lot. I got Yakuza Zero. I played Crash Bandicoot. Let me touch on this because I haven't touched on this on the podcast. I played Crash Bandicoot 1 through 3, or I tried to play each of them. Abysmal games. Holy crap, those games suck. They're freaking awful. Like, I have no touchstones for Crash Bandicoot as a child. Like, I have no reverence or love for those old games. I did not play them growing up. So coming into them now with fresh eyes, they're terrible. They are so bad. And like when they came out, everybody's like, oh man, they're so hard because it's like Dark Souls or whatever. I'm like, no, these games are hard because they freaking suck. That is why the level design is bad. The game design is bad. Like, the reasons why those games are hard are because they are bad games. They're terrible platformers that no one should play.
I like Crash.
Crash Bandicoot games suck. Crash Throw them all in a fire.
Crash
let's
is
not
fun.
Burn, if we ever, if this country ever goes down the Nazi route, let's not burn books. Let's burn copies of Crash Bandicoot. That would be a much better idea.
I like Crash. Crash is fun.
I also just, I mentioned this to Michael when we were talking about it. I just hate the vibe of that world and those characters. It is all incredibly stupid. Like, there is no...
Wait, you expected a game about a crazy bandicoot in shorts to be anything but silly and ridiculous?
I mean, no, I get that. But even that, even then, like, I hate Cortex's voice. I hate the music to those games.
Like, I actually really do like the music. I was surprised you didn't like it.
No, I didn't like the music at all. It's like, I don't know. I just hated everything about those games. So I took it to GameStop and I sold it to them for $35, and I picked up Yakuza 0. And
it's actually, it's crazy that you got $35, because isn't it a $40 game?
Yeah, there's some sort of promotion going on where I got $10 extra for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay.
I think it was like on a select list of like, hey, games we want real bad right now. And that was one of them, because that game's, I don't know if you've
sold
seen
out
sales
everywhere.
Yeah, if you've not seen sales charts, that game is selling like crazy, which makes me sad because they're going to make more Crash games, and I wish Crash would stay dead because he sucks. But yeah, I got Yakuza 0. I've only played it like an hour, but it's so absurd and so funny. And Logan Wilkinson and I talked about it on the last episode, or we talked about Yakuza Kiwami, the remake of the first one. And I can't speak to Zero too much yet. Like I said, if I'm only an hour in, and if you've played the game, you know the first hour is pretty slow, honestly. I like the fighting system, though. I like the absurdity. I've already sang some karaoke. I fought two drunk guys in an alley, and I beat them up so bad that they became sober. And they're like, where are we? How did we get here? I don't know. I'm going home, man. So, yeah, it's just a really dumb game.
You
but
can
it,
beat people into being sober? That's kind of an incredible power.
That's the thing. You come across these two drunk guys in an alley, and it flashes on the screen. The words flash on the screen, and it says, drunkards! And then you beat the living snot out of these guys. Like, you beat their heads against brick walls and kick them in their teeth and all kinds of other stuff. And then after you beat them, they're like, oh, wow, we're sober now.
That's crazy.
It's a funny game. I have enjoyed toying around with it for that initial opening. I think it's finally opening up a little bit more, though. I think I just got to the part where it's like, hey, there's an open world now. Feel free to run around. So I'll jump back into that at some point. Last thing that I haven't mentioned yet, or I think I mentioned that I got it, but I haven't played it until recently. Farpoint on PSVR.
Oh, yeah, with the gun.
So I played the first level, and it was pretty slow. The gun peripheral is good, but I was feeling sick.
And
I was like, ah, this sucks. So I haven't gone back to it yet because of that, because it was just making me a little bit nauseous. The way you move still feels so weird in those games. Like, you can only walk straight, and then you turn your head the other directions to while you're walking. So you can't really pivot exactly. The motion just feels odd.
Movement in VR is the trickiest thing, I think.
Yeah, it really is. So that's been my only problem with it so far. Other than that, holy smokes, gorgeous game in VR, though. Probably the prettiest VR game I have
seen
so far.
I'm actually curious, now that you have a Pro, have you noticed a boost in performance on VR?
I have not played enough games, I don't think, to really notice one way or the other.
Okay, because I've heard it's pretty, you can tell.
I mean, I would have to have like a PS4 standard and a PS4 Pro hooked up right next to each other, and I would have to like swap headsets to really notice it, I guess. I guess I did play super hot on my pro, so and that seemed kind of pretty as well. I don't know. I don't know. It's okay. Hard to say.
I was just curious.
Farpoint looks very pretty though, so I don't know if that. I think that's more reflective of the game more so than it is me playing on PS4 Pro though. I've heard it's supposed to be one of the prettiest PSVR games, and it definitely is so far. But yeah, I don't know. I need to hop back into that one because I finally bought that dumb peripheral and I still have yet to play it. So that is a thing that I need to do. I will do it at some point.
You should do it.
That's about all I've been into though for now.
Let's get into the meat of the show then.
So as mentioned, not a normal ish. I don't know. No episode of this is really normal anymore, I guess. News is kind of barren, sort of. I don't know. There's a few things. Okami HD is coming out, Max. It's $20. I'm really excited for that on December 12th. I cannot wait to play that game. That is something I will be purchasing and playing in December. Sorry, Persona 5.
No! Persona.
I've been wanting to play Okami for a long time, though. I don't know. There's a bunch of things going on, but they're all very small. I don't know. We're in the fall season, so news is kind of slow-ish, and it's now just more about releases. But we are about to get a big avalanche of news this evening in the form of a Nintendo Direct that is about to fall on our heads. They announced this 2 days ago on Monday. We're recording Wednesday, and we're also going to publish this on Wednesday. So this is going to be a rapid-fire episode that we throw up here really quickly. But they announced on Monday, I believe, that there would be a Direct today on September 13th. So we're waiting around for that. That starts in 3 hours
from the time of this recording. So we're gonna sit here for 3 hours. It's gonna be a 5-hour podcast.
So we're gonna do some predictions, some quick predictions for the Direct, and then we're going to do another one of those fancy time jumps where we go to the break and then come back, and then the Direct will have happened, and then we will talk about the Direct. But we wanted to give some thoughts on what we think will happen because Max, this is the first formal Direct they have done. And while usually they've been
definitely since E3.
Yeah,
I feel like January or February was the last formal Direct.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like they've had a bunch of Directs, don't get me wrong, but they've all been specific games.
They've had two Nindies. They had a Pokemon Direct.
Did they have a 3DS one? Was that a thing?
Maybe
not. I don't know.
They definitely had two Nindies. They definitely had a Pokemon. They had a Splatoon Direct. They had an ARMS Direct.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of it. And then the E3 presentation, which was about 20. How long was that?
That was about 20 minutes.
This one is 45 minutes in the States, 50 minutes in Japan.
Yeah. So
this is going to be a hopefully juicy.
Yeah, it's going to be a big app. This is, hopefully. That's the thing with
hopefully
Nintendo.
Hopefully juicy. I'm trying to temper my expectations. But, I mean, this is double the length of their E3 presentation. They just had the Nindies Direct like 2 weeks ago. So we know this is going to be, you know, first, second party offerings, maybe even some third party stuff, you know, Skyrim hopefully gets a date, stuff like that.
Well, let's actually get in that because I know you wanted to do predictions.
Just
of some sort.
Yeah, just but, like what we well, think could happen yeah, or predictions well, and then see how completely wrong we were in 3 hours.
Let's keep the predictions for the stuff that we definitely don't know. Let's just start off with what we do know.
Or expect.
Which is
the obvious stuff.
Easily their fall lineup. They've got Mario Odyssey in the pipeline. They will touch on that game for a couple minutes if I had to guess.
They've specifically mentioned it in the Direct image.
So we will probably get about 5 or 10 minutes of Mario Odyssey if I had to guess. And if they release another trailer for that game, the last time they released a trailer for that game, it was a real good trailer, Max. And I would like to see more of that.
I kind of am hoping for a collector's edition of that game.
That would be cool.
I'm kind of hoping for it. And this would be the event to announce it at. But we'll see how that shakes
out. They could show off some cool stuff like that or some Mario Odyssey Joy-Con.
It's so crazy. That game is going to be waiting for me at my door when I get home for my honeymoon. It's going to be right there. It's going to be great.
It'll be downloaded on my Switch digitally already because I'm not a heathen buying physical
items. Do you know... Can I talk about this? Can I go on a tangent real quick?
Go for it.
All right. I bought Destiny 2 digitally. No problem. Horizon, yeah. Digitally. Not a problem. Xbox yeah. games. No problem. But when it comes to Nintendo games, I have a really hard time not having the boxes.
Why? And
I don't know why. Like, I kept... I sold my physical copy of Zelda, but I kept the box. And then I bought Splatoon. So I bought Splatoon physically because I had credit or something. And Mario Kart, I think I got on Amazon because of that 20% off. So I have everything physically. And, like, I still have my GameCube games, and I have, like, a weird order that I put my GameCube games, and then my Wii games go in the same order and stuff. Like, and when I look at it, I go, man, I like my Nintendo boxes. And then in Japan, you can buy the box with a digital code in it, which is literally a waste of plastic.
But that would be
the perfect situation for me, because then I could have my games digitally, but then have the boxes. Like, on my 3DS, a vast majority of my games are, I think the last physical 3DS game I bought was Link Between Worlds, and then Samus this week I'll get physically just because of the collector's edition with the CD. Yeah. But, like, I buy a digital 3DS. I don't know. It's weird. Like, my home console Nintendo game, I like the case. It's weird. Yeah. So I'm conflicted.
I think I looked at Switch games the same way I looked at 3DS games, where I realized I don't do anything with the cases. All of mine are, like, in a drawer in my room, and they haven't seen the sunlight in forever because I just throw all of my individual carts into a carrying case I have.
Yeah.
And I realized the same thing with Switch. I was like, these carts are tiny. I will end up just chucking them into a case, and I will throw the boxes some random place.
Just buy it all digital.
I don't need this. Like, I will just buy it all digitally.
It's much smarter to have it all digitally because then you have all your games with you all the time. I totally get the pros, and I'm all for digital games, but I have this weird thing with Nintendo games where I like Nintendo boxes. I'm a weird boy.
The other thing, too, is that I usually only buy digital games for games I know I'm going to keep forever.
That's why I like Destiny 2 I didn't have a problem with.
So far, everything I've bought on my Switch, I'm like, oh, I'll keep this forever. Like, even like Splatoon 2, it's like... You know, I can bounce into that every now and then and have some fun with it. I doubt I get rid of this game. So, yeah, like, that's the other thing. Now, if it was, like, something I was on the fence about, maybe I would buy it physically. And then it's like, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to go sell
when
it.
When you buy the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy Switch
really
Edition.
Glad I bought that. Really glad I bought it that way. Like, yeah, maybe if I'm like, you know, I'll give Xenoblade 2 a shot. Maybe I'll buy Xenoblade 2 physically or something. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I don't know. That was my random tangent about boxes. But Super Mario Odyssey.
We will see.
They've said as much, so that's no surprise.
Xenoblade 2, we will have to hear something about, because that game is slated to release this year, and there's no release date on that game yet. It is still just later this year. So you'd imagine we have to get some sort of window, some sort of exact date for that one. And even if it is pushed to next year, then I still think we get an exact date. It's either going to be a delay to 2018 or an exact date for this year. And I still say it's for this year because they've quadrupled down on that game coming out this year.
Really kept saying that. Another game we will see for sure, Fire Emblem Warriors.
Yes.
Because that's their November game.
Yeah. Yeah, we will see that. Skyrim, you mentioned, but I bet that's the one third party thing. Or one of the main third-party things we really hear about.
I hope we get a date for that.
We'll probably get a date for that, if I had to guess. Those all seem like locks, and they can knock those out quickly. I guess we're entering the territory then of the one other lock. Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, because this is...
Because they did 3DS. Mention 3DS. I imagine a quick bump for Samus Returns, like... This game's coming out this Friday. Like, make sure you buy it.
Pokken probably as well, because that's out next week.
Yeah, and then definitely you're right about Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Those have to be briefly mentioned in some capacity. Show off something new. Because, you know, that's probably, in all honesty, that's probably the 3DS's last hurrah.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like, at least that and what Persona Q is the only other thing.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Q2 is coming out for it.
So yeah, those two. Other than that, we're entering the territory of, I guess, what do we expect to see? Because again, 45 minutes is pretty long to just talk about stuff we already know about. So there's got to be some new things in here, or at least some repackaged things in here.
What?
Which leads me to believe more Wii U ports are coming, but that's what we've always said. Time out, though. Let's talk about the very important thing before we get to more games. Are we hearing about Virtual Console today?
I reminded you about this last night while we were playing Destiny.
This is the only thing that matters on the planet. Are we getting Virtual Console today?
You ready? My number four prediction.
Go for
Virtual
it.
Console is not mentioned. Instead, talks about SNES and NES Classic.
I agree with you. I don't think they're going to talk about it. I really don't, and that upsets me because I'm so ready to hear more about it. In my head, I've accepted that it's going to be like an early 2018 thing they might launch.
Ooh.
I don't think it's going to be this year.
Interesting that you mentioned early 2018. Do we hear about the online service at all? Because they announced the pricing. They announced the window. Do we hear anything else, or we're just waiting until 2018 for that?
It should probably... I don't know. See, they can do PR blasts about that stuff.
Yeah.
That probably explain more quickly and better than Reggie or Bill Trennan talking about it. Like,
yeah.
PR blaster, probably a better way to convey that sort of stuff, honestly. So I would say no.
Okay.
Because also, online stuff for Nintendo just never looks good at all. So
hey, we got that 1.1 patch for the app last night. We can finally voice chat in Splatoon 2 with our phone closed.
That's something you used to not be able to do on iPhone back in the day. Like, you had to keep your music app open if you wanted it to play through that, which is, how did we ever do that? But yeah, that is a good job, Nintendo. You've taken the first steps into 2007. Congratulations.
2007? I'd say like 2004.
It was a while back. It was a long time ago. Yeah, where are we at then? Virtual Console. I don't think we're going to hear it either. I agree with you. Like, I don't think we're going to hear about it, and it's going to make me upset.
And you know what? If we just set the bar really low, maybe they come out and surprise us.
Maybe they come out and they're like, yo, you know what? Super Mario 1000 Year Door, download it right now.
Do you know how quick I would spend money if they were like Paper Mario 1000 Year Door available on Switch right now?
I would wire you money if you couldn't afford it, because I would feel bad for you. I'll help you out this time.
I've been listening to the soundtrack of that game recently.
Listen to the soundtrack every now as well. Yeah, I'm like really excited to play that game again. It's gotta happen. More predictions. Let's get into the games. Let's get into some things that have been rumored, which we were going to talk about Wii U ports, like we said. Smash Bros.
The Japanese direct video file was tagged with Smash Brothers, and the tag was removed.
That's
what we're going off of.
No, I don't even think we need to go off that. Let's just be very honest with ourselves. Smash Bros. Will come to the Switch.
Eventually.
That has always been a very obvious thing that will happen to me. Very much like Mario Kart, where it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Smash Bros. Just makes sense because they're not making a new Smash Bros. Anytime soon. So if they want that community to keep thriving, hey, why don't you put it on this device that everybody seems to love so far?
So when you say Smash Brothers, you are talking about Smash 4.
Smash Wii U, yes. Yeah, we will get Smash Bros. Wii U coming to Switch. But will there be new characters?
Shovel Knight.
I honestly think there wouldn't be new characters.
I don't know if there would be
anything new to that game. I think they'd just be like, yo, it's on Switch, buy it now. And I'd be like, yes, I will spend $60 on that. Thank you.
Well, they added new characters to Mario Kart 8 and they refined the battle mode. Like, I feel like if you're going to take Smash 4.
It's easy to add characters to Mario Kart, though. Not as much with
Smash. That's fair. I mean, yes, there's a big difference there. since Bandai Namco has been a huge part of the development for Smash 4 and 3DS, and, you know, they could have done it. I feel like it has to have at least one new character and some new stages. Like, it has to have something to set it away from the pack, separate it, besides the fact it's on a different system. Yep. It's got to be there. I don't think they showed Smash at all.
Today, you don't?
I actually don't think Smash 4 will be ported to the Switch. I think a brand new Smash Brothers game will come out eventually for it.
Mm.
But that's like, that's my own thoughts on it. So
3 years down the road.
Yeah, but I do think that Smash isn't talked about today.
I think it is. I don't know. I've just always had a feeling. I just think it's an obvious. If Nintendo likes money, they will do that.
But again, Logan, if they liked money, the NES Classic wouldn't have been a nightmare. The SNES Classic wouldn't have been a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess their track record shows they really don't like money all as much as maybe we think they do. I don't know. I think we see Smash Bros. The other thing I wanted to touch on was Bayonetta and potentially the Wonderful 101. Because we have seen those rumored for some time in both images. We got an image a couple weeks ago that was of Bayonetta, and there was a blue background and a red background behind her in each image. And
people think it's the Joy-Con colors.
Those are the Joy-Con colors there. So that makes sense. I don't know. Are we getting a new Bayonetta or a new
If we get anything from Platinum, I think it's Wonderful 101's sequel. Wonderful 102, I guess.
Who played that, though? That's my thing with that. Like, Bayonetta has an audience, even though they're small, and those games are very critically well-received. The Wonderful 101 I've heard good things about, but, like, I don't remember that's a game. Like, I forget that game exists a lot of the times.
I think between the two, I feel like Wonderful 101's more likely to happen right now, as opposed to another a sequel to Bayonetta. That's actually one of my predictions, sequel to 101. Bayonetta 3 has been kind of teased by one of the guys over there at Platinum in a couple of tweets. So, you know, whether he's just messing with everyone or not, we'll find out today.
Yeah. Maybe not today, but yeah, I don't know. Who the heck knows with this kind of stuff? That's about all I can think of off the top of my head. Is like other things that have been rumored.
I got some stuff.
There's things we know that are in development that haven't shown
like
up yet.
Like Yoshi and Kirby.
That's a thing.
Well, the two, Yoshi game and the Kirby game.
I got what you're saying. Yeah. You think we see those today?
I think one of them was even supposed to be early 2018. I think. I think we get names for them, like proper names and an updated trailer.
Potentially.
I could see that. We're not going to see Metroid. We're not going
to
see Prime 4.
I was about to ask you about that.
No. Oh my gosh, no. They're not going to. The only Metroid.
Samus Returns, but not Metroid 4.
Yeah, the only Metroid we see today is Samus Returns, if anything. So I think the Yoshi and Kirby game could get some spotlight time. My hope and prayer, Animal Crossing. Please.
Yeah, it still seems weird that they didn't reveal that at E3.
Like, it's just too perfect, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. But so you're saying Animal Crossing for Switch rather than the phone one they've been teasing?
Oh, they've said no mobile games will be in the Direct. Okay. So yes, the Switch version.
I don't know. I don't see it. I'll go anti-prediction.
All right, that's fine. I've got my anti-prediction on Smash.
I agree that it makes sense, and like that will be a game that releases next year. I just don't know if they're going to show it yet.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I kind of had was at least two Wii U ports are coming to Switch.
With Smash Bros. There we go.
Smash Bros. Could be a port. So that my prediction keeps me safe there. If Smash is revealed, I don't lose.
So you think the other is Mario Maker?
It could be Mario Maker, it could be Donkey Kong. I could see Wonderful 101 or Bayonetta 2, like just bringing those games over.
Mm-hmm.
I could see those. Mario Maker would be really cool. Zelda Maker? Can we get a Zelda Maker? Or Metroid Maker?
None of those would be good. I'm thoroughly convinced that none of those would be good games. People have said Zelda Maker and Metroid Maker. I'm like, no, I just...
I think Zelda Maker...
doesn't work the same way.
I think Zelda Maker could be cool. Because if people made dungeons and stuff and, like, solving other people's dungeons, I think would be really kind of fun. If it was, you know, obviously 2D. Metroid Maker would not be fun.
There's a much larger commitment to Zelda levels, though, than there is at Mario.
Mario level. Yeah, I know. Like, I agree.
Yeah, you can jump in and out of them within 90 seconds. And
yeah, and Mario...
they're like.
And Mario Maker just turned 2. And I really hope that game does come to Switch eventually, because Mario Maker is one of the most special things on the Wii U, and it deserves a little love. So I hope it comes. We'll see. But at least 2 Wii U games are going to get ported to that there Switch. 2 more.
Solid prediction. It'll be the Wii U port system, but it's fine with me because
those games are good.
The games on the Wii U were good, but the Wii U was terrible. So
now one other thing popped up in my head while we were talking here. Likelihood of Pikmin 4. Because Miyamoto has said in an interview that Pikmin 4 is like super close to being done.
Pikmin
was not supposed to be that game, I believe. I thought I read somewhere that it was a completely different game. Do you think Pikmin 4 shows up?
It could. I don't know. See, that's the weird thing about this direct being sprung on us.
We don't know.
Is like, there's like just so many like, and it's like this with Nintendo all the time. It's like, hey, X, Y, and Z could happen. Will it? I don't know. That's the classic Nintendo thing for you. Nintendo's always hard to get a beat on for the most part. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's very strange.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. It's exciting.
We will actually see what happens right now.
Whoa.
In 3 hours. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll see how many of these predictions or guesses were right. You will maybe even know by then, which totally discredits our predictions we just did, but so what? We're going to take a break. We are going to record the second half of the show and analyze what Nintendo actually showed off during this Direct right here today. We'll see you then. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Nintendo, they did their thing in between that break there. And we did a couple other things, like played a couple rounds of Destiny, and Max plugged the computer back in or something? I don't really know, but we did
tried to fix Wi-Fi, is what I did.
There we go. The things that run the computers. Not really, but the internet part of it, at least. Nintendo Direct, solid overall. Our predictions, as always, I think, were a little bit out there.
some were. Out of all the ones I had written down, I got 1.5.
You got the anti-predictions correct for the most
part.
I got
2, 3. I got 3 of them. 3.5. 2.5 to 3.5.
It was pretty straightforward, and they filled that time fairly well with what they showed. I think they just spent longer periods of times on games we weren't necessarily expecting. Like they spent a good 5 or 10 minutes on like Xenoblade there, whereas I expected maybe like a 90 second trailer with just a release date for that game, which it has a release date, December 1st. Yay. It's a big Switch JRPG coming out this year.
Yeah. The Switch.
So
killing it.
It's a thing. Let's run down. I don't think we're going to be able to do it from top to bottom. Let's get the big stuff out of the way.
Yeah, let's pick and choose. Like an orchard.
Let's go with the heavy hitter. Let's go with the one we knew we would see coming into it. Super Mario Odyssey. May as well start there. Max, This game is giving me feelings that I haven't felt about a video game since I was a child. Like,
it's going to be, it's going to be magic.
I'm trying to find the right words for the game, and
pure wonder.
Like the excitement that I feel, like there's this, I've talked about this before, I think, on the show, but I don't get super excited for games anymore. I really don't. Like, that excitement is pretty, there's so many releases now that there's always something I'm playing. This, however, is so unlike anything else I've seen in the gaming space in forever. Like, I can't think of the last time I've seen a game like this. It just looks so unique, so colorful, so whimsical. There's like an excitement in my gut for this game that no other releases this fall or no other releases this year have had. I'm stoked to play it.
It's there's like this sense of wonderment and
yeah,
adventure and self-discovery and yeah, just pure joy.
Now, going off of those, though, the sense of discovery and the wonder, do you feel like they may have shown a bit too much today? Because it was about 5 or 6 minutes of footage that we saw for the game. Obviously, it was all clipped together.
7 minutes of footage. Yeah, I think they showed a lot. They say there are more worlds. They showed, I think, 6 or 7 worlds.
Yeah.
And we knew about four of them, or three of them. 4 or 3. So they almost doubled the world count, and they say there are even more.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been okay not seeing it. Maybe should have done what Wario 64 did and just not watched it. Yeah. But hot dog, that game's gonna be okay.
I told you, I texted you during the footage, and I was like, Max, I'm not joking. Like, I think this could be the game of the year. And that's...
Isn't it crazy that...
It's insane that we're at this part of the year with so many landmark games, and not we only, still see another.
Not only that, not only gaming as a whole is experiencing 2017 as probably the best year in gaming, but Nintendo has two of their own games competing for Game of the Year with Breath of the Wild... And now potentially Super Mario Odyssey. Like, I feel like it's safe to say Odyssey will be a contender. And that's crazy. Like, Nintendo themselves are duking it out. Like, it could be its own category, like Nintendo Game of the Year.
Yeah. And then we've got Metroid this week, so depending on how that is. Yeah, it's an insane year. And, like, for us to have played so many landmark titles already this year that have like stood out not only within this year's own games, but like within the last decade or so, or just within gaming all time, to still have something on the horizon that looks like, oh, that's doing new things that I've never seen before, and it looks like that's going to be amazing, is just still baffling to me. In addition to that, of course, we got the bundle now. So if you don't have the Switch yet, you can hop aboard. It's $379.99. You got those nice red Joy-Con, which are the same color, which how the Switch probably should have always been, because those opposite colors look real. When I saw both of those colors like that, not that I haven't seen them before, like at the store or anything like that, but when I saw how clean that box looked just because of those Joy-Cons, I was like, why couldn't they have all been like this? It looks really nice. The gray's fine, I guess, but it's a little boring.
I would like the red.
Some of the other offerings at this point. I like that red, too. You also get a carrying case and then a digital code for the game. Mario Odyssey is going to be...
It's going to be an okay game, for sure.
I'm really, really excited for that game. It's like 6 weeks out, too. That's what's crazy. We're very close to it.
Yeah, it's a week after my wedding. Gosh, that's weird.
Yeah, so we're nearing that time, which is very weird. It's all coming very quick. Let's do rapid fire on a couple other things. Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I mentioned they showed a lot of that. I don't think you and I can speak to too much of that.
Yeah, it looks like a huge, huge JRPG.
Yeah.
Which is good for the Switch.
Yeah, and I was saying to you, like, that world looks so unique. Like, it does look very Japanese, like your response was. But I haven't seen a game like that before, and that's what really interested me with, not necessarily like with gameplay wise or anything. That's what interests me interested me in with the first Xenoblade, though, was that I just thought that world looked really cool, and that I felt like that would be something cool to get lost in. That one looks very, that game looks, is on my radar. I have no idea if I will pick it up. I doubt it. Maybe if it's on sale down the line. But I've heard nothing but good things about that series. So yeah.
It's, Xenoblade looks good. I'm glad they're sticking, I'm glad they're sticking to a 2017 date. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major props to them. That's a very ambitious project. Hope it delivers.
I agree. The other big thing that we got some time with, which I didn't watch too much of, but I know the footnotes. I was busy typing up articles during this part of the show, but this part of the direct. Project Octopath Traveler. Max, we slept on this. We didn't even bring it up in our prediction.
I know. I forgot completely about the game. The game with the name.
The game with the weird name that is still a working title, which is very strange.
And you can play a demo of it right now.
You can. There's a demo out on the eShop right now, which you can download, which is pretty cool. And then in addition to that, yeah, I don't know. Got a little bit more of a look at what the game is, the art, the combat, the story, all that normal stuff you'd expect from a video game. They showed it off in a little bit more detail, and it's coming next year. No specific date. No specific name yet either.
But, it's all a mystery.
It looks very it looks old school for sure. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The people who
are these are the guys that did I Am Setsuna, right?
I am not 100% certain.
I feel like it's the same team. I feel like it's the same team from Square.
That sounds correct, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, that sounds right. It looks very pretty, though.
It's exclusive to Switch.
I really like the pixel.
The 2D HD look.
Yeah. You going to download the demo?
I already have it downloading.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. I might do it myself, too.
It's very, I think, rare to get just a pure demo of a game this far in advance.
Yeah.
So I'm very intrigued by it. So I'm cool. I'm very curious to check it out.
Shit game, once again, it does not have a proper name yet. Is now something we can play on our Switch. It's weird, but cool nonetheless. And then the fourth thing they talked about, I mean, this is away from Switch, so we'll just touch on it real quick, because the whole Direct was kind of built around these four pillars of big games they were going to talk about. The fourth was Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which it's more Pokemon. They showed off a Legendary. They showed off more Pokemon. They showed off some of the story differences, all the new updated stuff in that game. Yeah, it's a second version of Pokemon Sun and Moon.
It's more Pokemon. I think the most exciting chunk out of that was the Gold and Silver dates.
Yeah, that's true. So we got September 22nd is Pokemon Gold and Silver coming to the Nintendo eShop.
That was arguably the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I have Heart Gold and Soul Silver, so I would just pop those into my 3DS instead, I guess, and play those instead.
You can't.
It's still very cool.
I was going to say, you can't pop those into your 3DS.
Yeah, can
I? Oh, Heart Gold and Soul Silver. My bad. For some reason in my head, I just heard Gold and Silver. I was like, you're not putting a Game Boy cartridge in your 3DS.
Yeah, I shoved that cartridge into my 3DS.
Exactly. That, it's one of the things I loved about the Blue and Red remakes was how spot on the emulation was. So very excited for people to dig into Gold and Silver with the same caliber of emulation. That's cool. And the fact that you can use Pokebank to bring those Pokemon over, like it's the first time ever you can play the old games and bring those Pokemon up all the way to the newest stuff. So that's always really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. So 3DS, yeah. There's more 3DS stuff we'll get to in a second. Let's get to potentially, I don't want to say the biggest, I think one of the most surprising, though.
The biggest surprise?
Yeah, Bethesda's playing ball.
Bethesda's playing serious ball.
Yeah, so this year they've got Skyrim, which we knew about. It's coming out November 17th. We got a date for that finally. We knew that coming in, or expected that coming in.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to have on Switch finally. But we've also got Doom, which is coming this year.
Unfortunately, it's just too long of a game for Switch.
That's true.
I don't know, how well people will react to it, because it is just too long of a game. You don't want those 8-10 hour games on your Switch. You really want the shorter 100 hour experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So you gotta maybe stray away from Doom.
In all seriousness, if they truly can get that game running at the fluid 60, that obviously the textures will not be as good, but if they get it just running...
Well, that's what I was going to say.
If they get it
super ugly from what they showed.
I mean, if it's running the way Doom should run and it feels good like Doom, I mean, that's the important part. Also now, has Doom, the reboot, entered the tradition of OG Doom with how many different systems can we port this to?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, we're going to get mobile Doom and Doom on your watch and Doom on your 3DS.
Yeah, but that's it's cool to see that on Switch for sure.
But what else did they announce?
Wolfman 2. New Colossal. Wolfenstein 2 New Colossus is also coming. That, however, will not be launching day and date with the game next month on October 27th, and will instead be coming on in 2018, which is cool still. Yeah, those games are they're definitely going to look ugly. That's the only thing that's going to suck, is that even the small footage I saw from Doom in the Direct, I was like, oh boy, that looks real grainy.
The fact that they got him running on there alone, like, I mean, just props, but...
I don't think it's much of a running thing. To me, it's more of a Bethesda is willing to go out of their way to dumb those games down to put them on Switch, which
that's
I think
fair. This is a completely different port, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool to see Bethesda doing that with multiple titles they have coming out. What is this? I mean, quick tangent conversation. What does this look like for other third parties now? Because they touch on obviously you got all the sports games that are coming to Switch now too. WWE is coming as well. They announced that a couple months back. There's a lot of notable third party games that are coming to Switch now. My thing has always been that will peter out the longer the Switch goes on, but I think it's a good time for third parties to capitalize on it now.
I mean,
can you see anybody else doing something similar to this in the future? Like, hey, remember that game from 2 years ago that y'all loved? It's on Switch now. Like, I think that's viable. Like, I'm trying to think of some games off the top of my head.
That stuff is definitely viable. One thing, like, Ubisoft obviously just did Mario & Rabbids. I think getting South Park, both Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole on there would not be terribly difficult. It could be, I have no idea, but those seem pretty simple enough. This, though, if it continues in the trend of bringing older games to Switch, like Skyrim and Doom, Skyrim's super old compared to Doom. I'm really happy that it's Wolfenstein 2 and not Wolfenstein 1. But if it continues to be old games, we're going to have a Wii U situation where we're going to get last year's Assassin's Creed. We're going to get last year's Batman. We're going to get, you know, older Call of Duty. Like, we're not going to get... But
Watch Dogs.
Stuff like that. Seeing New Colossus, very encouraging.
Yeah, I agree.
But we'll kind of see how it goes with that. I don't see Ubisoft, like, taking Assassin's Creed and dumbing it down. I don't see Call of Duty dumbing down for it. Obviously, Destiny won't happen on it.
I was going to say, what about Destiny? Come on.
Won't happen, because it's an always-online game.
Gotta get Destiny on there. Yeah, jeez, imagine that on Switch. Dear God, help us all.
Imagine trying to run on...
Yeah,
Square seems to be supporting it pretty well.
I agree.
Which gives me hope for Kingdom Hearts 3, because Kingdom Hearts 3 is Unreal Engine 4, which runs on Switch. I could see it. They have a relationship with Nintendo about putting Kingdom Hearts games on there.
Yeah. I would see more like something akin to Chain of Memories, where it's like a new Kingdom Hearts game is now on Switch rather than a...
Three
looks... I don't know, dude. Just looking at 3 is like, they'd have to... We're talking about how they had to dumb down Doom to get it on there. They'd have to, like, rip out the guts of Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm afraid, and throw them out the window.
I think it could run
on Unreal 4, but...
I feel like it would run just fine.
I don't know. We'll have to see. They've talked about Final Fantasy 15 as well, and how they've tried to get it to run on Switch, and it's like, I can't remember the exact quotes. We actually, at Dual Shockers, one of our guys interviewed Tabata the other day, and he was talking to us about it, and their experimentations they've had with that game and the Switch. So it's viable. We'll have to see if they want to. We'll have to see what third parties want to continue to go down that road. But yeah, I agree with you. In the long run, though, especially like with Xbox One X coming out, and then PS4 Pro is already out. That's always been my whole thing, is that the market is drifting towards this power-centric area, that if the Switch is going to get left behind, I feel like within, I'd say by the end of next year, third parties that are even thinking about bringing them over probably won't be considering that.
But that's when the new Switch Pro XL will come out.
Yeah, yeah, the Xbox One Switch. Yeah, that's what we're waiting for. But yeah, that's cool to see. Cool to see Bethesda continue to bring more of their games over there. Let's do rapid fire for a couple other things. Kirby Star Allies. What was this? Was this the
this was the
Switch one?
The Switch Kirby game. That was my half point because I said Yoshi and Kirby.
So wait, was this the one? Yeah, this is the one that's coming next year. Okay, so this is the official title for it now. Kirby Star Allies.
Yes, and it sounds like you get to mix powers together, similar mm-hmm. to Crystal Shards 64. Yeah. And you get to like take control of enemies, and they get to become your buddies, and you can play up to 4 friends locally. Mm-hmm. It looks like more Kirby.
Yeah. That's pretty much Kirby.
Kirby
has never reinvented the wheel too much. Splatoon is getting an update. They got a new map that's coming out this Friday. They've also got a new weapon called the Tentabrella and Snapper Canal, which is also a new map, and those will be coming in the future.
I was really hoping for Splatoon 2 to announce their battleground, player arena, yeah. 100
their
players.
Battle Royale.
You know, 100 Squid Kids. Last Squid Kid standing wins.
Yo, I would be all in for that.
Wouldn't it be dope?
That'd be really fun.
Yeah, squidding around. You would.
Yeah. I would totally play that. I'd put a lot of hours into that, actually. ARMS, same sort of thing. Software update went live to get today. It allows players to remap the game's controls to the buttons of their choice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Nintendo. Now that's like listening to fan feedback and actually taking it to heart.
That's a pro, because I for the motion controls, there were some buttons I wanted to switch up, and now it lets you switch them up.
Doing the Switch snap. Also a new playable fighter called Lola Pop.
She's been announced for a while, but now she's actually in the game.
She's in it today, so that's cool. Fire Emblem Warriors getting a new character, Lin.
October
Game Boy game, October 20th. Yeah,
I thought that was a November game for some reason.
No, you said November earlier, I think, and that sounded wrong in my head.
I didn't know there was a date already for it.
Yeah, they've had a date for a while, I think.
Okay, I totally missed that then.
Yeah, I thought that sounded wrong earlier, but I forgot. So yeah, that's coming next month on Switch and 3DS, yeah.
Right, right before Mario. Actually, comes out on my wedding day.
There you go. I'll run out to a store and grab it for you.
No,
slip it in your back pocket before you walk down the aisle.
Please.
next up, let's do a couple other things. We already talked about Skyrim, Rocket League. They basically just showed off the Nintendo cars and stuff like that. I don't know, pretty broad. They still no release date for that one either.
Psyonix has said in the past that they don't want to give a date until they are absolutely sure. So
yeah. So still no release date on that one, no surprise. Snipper Clips is getting 30 new stages. The DLC is coming. It's $10. There's also a new retail version that's going to include this new DLC, and it's going to be available at stores on November 10th for $30. Cool for Snipper Clips. Yay. LA Noire, they talked about for a second. NBA 2K. I talked about all those games. They showed off Sonic. They showed off Resident Evil Revelations 1 and 2. They showed off Morphe's Law, which is that size-changing shooter, which looks super weird, that they showed in the Nindies showcase a couple weeks ago. They also showed off all kinds of Nindies games that are coming.
Yeah, they kind of did a brief Nindies blast, which I was a little disappointed in, because literally 2 weeks ago we saw all these games.
I mean, it was so short, though. Like, it was like 3 minutes. So it's not like it was taking time away from anything else. But yeah, SteamWorld Dig 2, Golf Story, Nine Parchments, Battle Chef Brigade. They showed off a bunch of stuff like that just very quickly. The other thing that is worth mentioning, well, Dragon Quest Builders is actually coming to Switch as well. They announced that the second one was coming a couple weeks back, I think. Dragon Quest Builders 2 got announced.
It PS4 and Switch.
But the original one is also coming to Switch now, later, not later this year, early next year, spring. So that's cool. Give people a chance to play that. I mentioned L.A. Noire. They showed that off for just a quick second. The last thing I feel like is worth mentioning, and it's not like super, I don't know, it's more like a reading the tea leaves kind of thing. The Arcade Archives. So Nintendo is doing this arcade thing where they are bringing back their old school arcade titles like Super Mario Bros., Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Pinball, Clue Clue Land, all that stuff, and they're putting them out together in a bundle thing that you can download on Switch. Yo, what's up with Virtual Console?
Never coming out.
Yeah, I'm so worried at this point. Like, this thing looks cool, great. But, like, between this and the NES, SNES Classic, like, deep down within me, I am getting very nervous that they're just going to pass on Virtual Console this time around. And they've said they wouldn't. Like, they've talked about it already.
I mean, well, so okay, here it is. They won't pass entirely on it, because we know for sure that when the online service launches in 2018, we get a free old game
each month that
we get to keep. So we know that old games are being implemented, for sure. This honestly reminds me of NES Remix 1 and 2 without all the remixing. I honestly even think it's the same people that are bringing it back. It is a cool little collection. Really, all I care about is Mario Brothers in that collection, so I don't think I'd even pick it up.
OG Mario Bros.
Yeah, like I remember playing that. I remember playing that in Super Mario Bros. 3 Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, OG Mario Bros. Sucks though. It's real bad,
but it's fun. I have fun with that one. I remember fondly. It's fine. It's cool. It almost seems like a response to that Bandai Namco collection from a few months ago.
Maybe.
Where you could play Galaga and Pac-Man and all sorts of stuff on it. It kind of is in the same vein. It's arcade games.
Yeah, the Namco collection. Yeah.
It's fine. At this point, I feel like Virtual Console is a 2018 thing. Like,
I'm so on the edge of my seat here with Virtual Console that it's like, anytime they don't talk about it or anytime they reveal something that it's like, you could have just done Virtual Console there, but no, you didn't. I don't know. Just every little thing makes me nervous. Also, just a random thought jumping out of my head. SNES Classic's out in 2 weeks. That's really weird. Jeez, be prepared to...
I won't be getting one of those anytime soon.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. They've already been out in front. I guess we didn't mention it, but they're bringing the NES Classic back, too. That was a new story we could have mentioned. But,
NES Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic. It's going to be juicy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They gave some sweet, sweet Amiibo release dates.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. So that's why... actually, before we do Amiibo, one thing I want to bring up real quick. Amiibo. Because one thing that we didn't mention in the pre-show, but I felt like a shoe-in for them to talk about, was the story DLC for Breath of the Wild.
I was going to bring that up with the Amiibo.
Is that pushed now? Or where are we at with that? I don't know. Very strange. It felt like they could have just mentioned that very briefly, but they didn't.
Well, it's weird that the Amiibo have a date for it, but not the DLC? Like, that's...
Yeah, when is that? It's like October...
No, it's November.
Oh, it's November. Oh, I'm thinking of some of the other ones.
I feel like they've said that the DLC is coming out in December.
They haven't given a hard date.
But like, I thought they gave a window. I thought it was December.
I don't think they did. I'm almost positive they didn't. In fact,
in my head, I feel like it's December. But
no, that's Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
No, I know that now. It's December 1st. I don't know. It's just, it is weird that the Amiibo have a date and the DLC doesn't. If that DLC needs to be pushed, that's obviously fine.
I can't imagine it being pushed that much.
Not really. And besides, we're going to be playing Mario.
Yeah, we'll be fine, I think.
It's okay. If I had to. But it is weird. I thought I could have swore we would have gotten that that date.
Yeah.
But alas.
Yeah, that like I said, that seemed like a lock. I don't know. Nothing's a lock, of course, but it seemed likely that we would see that. There is no date. All we know is that it's coming this year. So,
darn it. Can I? Was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, that's it. So that's it for Switch. So I guess we got to go backwards and go to 3DS.
Because I did. I had one thing specifically 3DS related that I wanted to point out. Minecraft came out today for it.
Yeah.
Minecraft's launch. Everywhere.
Is it everywhere now? Switch, 3DS,
Vita, PS4,
Xbox One,
PS3, 360,
PC,
iPad, PC, iPhone, Windows Phone, Android.
Good grief. Notch is very rich.
I mean, he sold it a while ago.
Yeah, he did, but man,
Microsoft's the rich one now. Minecraft came out today. That's crazy. The other thing that I particularly cared about or thought was worthy of pointing out, that Pokemon 2DS is hot.
The Pokeball one? Yeah. That thing looks real good.
As a kid.
The orange and white one now, too.
As a kid, I would have freaked out over that Pokeball one. The Mario Party.
They're doubling down on trying to get as much new hardware out there as possible to encourage new buyers, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Before this thing is dead. Yeah.
Mario Party mini games?
Mario Party, the top 100. I blame Dan Reichert for all of this. Yeah, what'd they say? So they've got all 10 Mario Parties now, and they're taking 10 mini games from each Mario Party and putting them all into a pack on 3DS. I mean, I get because it's got the download play thing. But that's Switch. A game?
Oh my gosh. Like, Mario Party mini games are so good.
No, they're not.
I love them. And
they're awful.
I love them. And the fact that we get the best of best art, well, subjective, you know, it's all subjective.
I challenge you to watch all 10 episodes of Giant Bomb's Mario Party series.
I have to pay for that, don't I?
Mario Party's good. It's $5 a month. But
how long are those?
20 hours. I think I've watched, they range from anywhere between 30 minutes to 4.5 hours. So,
I mean, listen, I love a good game of Mario Party. I've played a lot of it. I remember 2 years ago on a road trip, we just played Mario Party 2 every night. Like,
oh my gosh.
I love a good Mario Party game, which is 2, 5, 6, DS, and that's it. Maybe 4. I can't remember. About the GameCube era had great.
What about the 7?
The 7?
The microphone and the cruise ship.
Is that the one with the mic?
6 is as well, I think.
6 and 7 were great. 6 and 7 were great. I loved those microphone games.
I don't. They're very bad.
Man.
They're very bad games.
Oh, I love the GameCube era, and then 2 and DS. I love a good game of Mario Party. The most recent, anything from the Wii up is garbage.
They're not good games, though.
They're the best games.
I've watched those Let's Plays they do, and it is a brutal game. That game is not meant to be played on 50 turns. It is meant for maybe 15. Maybe.
50, every time.
No, it is not made for that. But yeah, that's something that's coming to 3DS. I don't know. We'll run through 3DS here. Like, we already mentioned the big things. Kirby Battle Royal.
That was in Robo whatever.
Yeah, that looks real bad. That's coming out on January 19th. I was not impressed. I mean, I'm rarely impressed by Kirby games. We'll say that. But
I was
like, going
to say, when was the last Kirby game you were impressed by?
Yeah, but I was like way less impressed by this
one. Well, it's not a full game. This was a mode in the Robo game on 3DS a year or two ago. Like, this is a side
mode. Kirby's Robotobot or whatever.
Robotron.
Planet
Robobot. Robocop.
Yeah,
Robo,
that one.
Robo Kirby Cop. It, exactly. You know, whatever. Don't buy it if you have the Robo thing.
Yes, I agree. So that's coming.
Yo-Kai Watch.
Yo-Kai Watch 2 is coming on September 29th. Sure, that's a thing.
The trembly bones. It's like it'd be the crystal of the Yo-Kai Watch 2. It's
sure.
It is. That. It's the third game in the second game. You know what I'm saying?
It's the
platinum, the emerald.
The emerald, yeah. Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga is coming October 6th. I might pick that up.
I forgot about that game coming back. When do we get Partners in Time? Then I'll hop in.
You can play. It's backwards compatible. Come on. Jump on there.
You know, my 3DS XL doesn't really run DS games really well. I've had them drop. I've had them drop quite a bit.
Either. Yeah. I'm not sure about mine either. Layton's Mystery Journey, Cattrall, and Millionaire's Conspiracy. This is the one with Layton's daughter.
Lady Layton.
Lady Layton. Launches on October 6th. We already knew that, though. Minecraft, you mentioned, and then that's about it. Besides some weeb stuff that you and I can't speak to in any way, shape, or form. Overall, solid showing. They really laid out the rest of their year well. Not many surprises, honestly. The biggest surprise, I think, was a third party coming in and saying, hey, we're doing this, in the form of Bethesda. Mm-hmm. Nintendo is doing well. They have really...
Someone cut that quote out and just play it forever. There's your soundbite. Logan saying Nintendo is doing well.
They're doing a good job. I mean, got to think back to where we were in January or February. I was like,
I know how you were. How long have we been doing this show?
I did not think that showing earlier this year was very good.
How long have we been podcasting together?
2 or 3 years or whatever.
I know what you were like. I know you.
That showing in earlier this year was not great, though. And a bunch of people, I mean, when we talked to Peter at the same time, I think he felt the same way. They've done a good job, though. And I don't know. Switch is selling well. It's continuing to be off store shelves regularly. I mean, I'm starting to see them pop in a little bit more frequently now. But it is still selling incredibly well. They've got a good slate of games coming up for it. And the thing I've mentioned it on the show before, but I'm just excited to play games on the Switch more so than, and that was the problem with the Wii U, and that's why I always spoke so badly about the Wii U, is that I never wanted to play that device just because the device sucked, and that was always my hurdle to overcome. I'm looking for reasons to play my Switch like all the time. And it's just such a sleek piece of hardware. See, it starts there. The hardware is so good. They've made a good device that I am now wanting to play things I wouldn't normally play, like the Splatoons I've bought and all that kinds of other kind of stuff. Like Xenoblade's interesting to me. Like, I would like to check that game out if I have time. Even though that should probably, if I'm playing a JRPG that month, it should probably be Persona 5. But
Project Octopath Traveler.
Yeah. Like, they've got a good slate of things to coming up here. And, like, the other thing, we mentioned a lot of things in the predictions half where there are still a lot of things on the horizon with this that they have not tipped their hand to yet. And that's the thing, is, like, we have all these predictions that we made for this Direct, and they didn't come true. But, again, we know a lot of those things are probably maybe coming.
One day there will be an Animal Crossing game on Switch.
One day there
will be Smash Brothers. One day there will be Virtual Console. Like, all these things...
Yeah,
are coming. We just don't know when.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, and while I would like to have them all right now, like, that's just going to continue to bolster the Switch as we move forward. So yeah, like, it's I don't know, man. They're doing really well. Like, Nintendo bouncing back, as good as video games have been this year. Nintendo bouncing back has been a very pleasant surprise in my own life, or not a pleasant surprise, more of just something that I'm happy about, because I was so negative on them for so long, and now I come on this podcast weekly and I say good things about Nintendo. It's a very nice change of pace. I don't know. It's nice to feel like they are actually playing a major role in the industry for the first time in
a decade,
five years, six. I mean, after those initial 2 to 3 years of the Wii, it really felt like they just kind of laid low. And they're like, hey, this thing's selling a lot. We'll put out a game here and there, and that's going to be about it. And that's when I got frustrated with them. But yeah, Nintendo doing pretty good. This direct didn't really change my opinion too much one way or the other. The games I was excited for, I'm excited for. The games that are still just kind of there, it's still just kind of there. But
and Super Mario Odyssey is going to be a masterpiece.
Yeah, that game will be 10s out of 10s easily. There's a freaking like pterodactyl with a mustache in a hat.
Is it?
Is this? I don't know what that thing is.
You know, it kind of honestly, some of the transformation stuff kind of reminds me of a little bit of Banjo and Kazooie.
Oh dang, that's actually a good. That's their secret for this game. They're like, all right, we gotta mix Mario up. What should we do? And somebody's like, I just played Banjo Kazooie the other day, and they're like, that's a good idea.
They threw googly eyes on the hat. Oh my god,
it is Banjo Kazooie. They're like, all right, so here's the thing: you throw googly eyes on this hat, and then this hat with googly eyes can take over anything and turn that into googly eyes. And they're like, that's a great idea because that's exactly what Banjo is.
Like real the quick. One
me and Grant were talking about it, texting about it after we saw it, and he said he almost crapped his pants when he saw how many moons are on just one level in that game. Like the cursor just kept scrolling down and it was getting into like the 80s or something crazy like that, and it was like, oh my gosh, there's gonna be so many nooks and crannies to those levels. And that's what I love. That's why I like that they're going to this format, is that I think in past Mario games, the worlds have been so fleshed out, but you're only making a beeline towards the star in one specific area. I think this really opens things up and allows you to like explore the entire map, like in any way that you want, and find all of the little hidden things that they've tucked away in every mm-hmm. level, rather than just being like, oh, there's a star up in this top right corner. That's the only direction I'm going towards it this time around. Yeah. So.
One thing, a hypothetical, if you will. Is there any way this game can be bad?
Not
live up to expectation?
No, I've played it as well. Well, I mean, albeit for 10 minutes, but no, it cannot be bad. Like, it's just one of those games where it's like, oh, this will be amazing. We will talk about this game for years to come. Like,
isn't that crazy that they put out two of those games in one year?
I mean, it's pretty crazy, but... I mean, here's an even crazier thing I'll say. I am so, like, it's so obvious that this game will be amazing. Like, Zelda, even going into Zelda Breath of the Wild, I was like, I got a couple questions about this. Because open world, I had some hesitancies. Mario Odyssey, I'm like, no, this is just going to blow my pants off.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best game ever.
Do you know what both Breath of the Wild and Odyssey give me really high hopes for?
A crossover Breath of the Odyssey?
No.
What?
Prime 4.
That's a good point.
Look.
But who's developing that game?
Prime 4 is a new team. It sounds like it's internal to Nintendo. But if they're taking... They took Zelda. They made it open world. They took Odyssey and went to Sandbox. Back to Sandbox style. Like... Prime 4,
it's
please?
It's Destiny.
Oh my god, don't say that.
You can upgrade your hand cannon. I got an exotic hand cannon.
Oh
check it
god.
Out, guys.
Oh my god.
By the way, quick Destiny story. I got another exotic Ingram while I was playing, and it got me another piece of armor that I already had. I've got like three exotic things in that entire game, and I have doubles of two of them.
Welcome to Destiny.
I hate it. It really sucks. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it.
Wait till you start getting gear for Titans and Warlocks and you don't care.
That'll happen?
Oh, yes.
That's a thing?
In Destiny 1 it was. I imagine you will get drops for other character loot.
That's really weird. And what do? You just drop it? You're just like, oh, I can't use this.
Well, I mean...
Dismantle.
Actually, no, I would keep it because I do have a Warlock and a Titan.
Oh, you can switch it between characters. I get what you're saying.
You just put it in the vault, but like, you know, you're really hoping for that hunter gear, and then you get a warlock chest piece, and it's useless to you.
Yeah.
Welcome to Destiny.
Time to go play more Destiny. We're gonna get out of here. Nintendo did pretty good though. Pretty good showing. As always, Thank you for listening to Millennial Gaming Speak. You can follow the podcast and listen to it on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, and that there Google Play. You can also, I was going to say you can find them on YouTube, but I really haven't been doing that lately. My computer's real bad with exporting videos, so I don't know. I gotta figure something out with that. You can also find all of our other podcasts over at modelcitizensmedia.com, where we've got the Model Citizen Show, Reeling in the Years, which we're behind on again, but whatever. I think Michael and I have just decided to do that podcast whenever we feel like doing that podcast. And if we don't feel compelled, then we're not going to do it because it makes for a bad show. So look for new episodes of that randomly. And then Behind the Pixel as well. You've also can go over to Twitter, as I mentioned at the top of the show, and follow us at MGS Podcast. You can also follow us at Model Pods for all the Model Citizen stuff. You can follow Max. He's at Max the White. You can follow myself. I am at Moorman12. You can also email us at mgspodcast@gmail.com with all your questions, comments, or concerns. Let us know what you think of Super Mario Odyssey. Am I right? Is it going to be an utter masterpiece? Is there literally no way that game is not a 10 out of 10 when it comes out in reviews? Because I'm pretty sold on that. The only bad thing I could think of is maybe those Joy-Con controls suck. But I've even used those, and they're pretty good.
I've heard they're quite good for the game.
They're pretty good, yeah. So even the one hesitancy I might have with that game is still solid. But yeah, that's episode 109 of Millennial Gaming Speak. I'm going to go play Destiny or do something. I think I got to do something else, and then I'm going to play Destiny later. Max Elliott, you going to be up? Maybe I should pop that.
I feel like I'm tired. I feel like I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, maybe I'll save that till tomorrow. Figure it out. But we'll be back next week to regale you with more Destiny stories. And until then, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Farewell. Play Destiny?
Destiny. 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 Destiny.
All right, let me change my shorts into something more comfortable and go get a soda.